Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Last week, I started speaking about Jesus, our living friend. And that as a living friend, he can be present with us. He can be present with us. And as a friend, a true friend, he uses his authority to direct us as Lord. And I focused on that last week, because the Lordship of Jesus is one of the things that sometimes people think of in a negative way. That they don't want to follow a whole bunch of rules. They don't want to be bossed around and so on. The Lordship of Jesus is his commitment to lead us into the best possible life. That doesn't mean the most abundantly wealthy life. That doesn't mean a life that's always healthy or easy. Jesus' idea of the best life is a little different than yours and I's is. Than yours and I's would be, yours and mine would be. Jesus' idea of the best life is a better idea than we could imagine. All our wisdom needs to bow before him and accept that if he says or directs us to go in one direction, then that's the best direction to go in. Even if it seems to fail by worldly measures, it's better to trip up following Jesus than to run full speed without any problem away from him. So his lordship's very important. But as we celebrate the ascension, we're celebrating another aspect of his friendship. Because the ascension is about Jesus going into heaven. And let's get something clear. God is very graceful to us in the way he demonstrates his work to us. The ascension didn't have to happen with Jesus rising up into the air and being hidden by the clouds. But when we think of heaven, we think of it being above us. I think that's probably because that's inaccessible to us. And it looks so beautiful up there, whether you're seeing the blue sky in the daytime or the stars at night. For us, the heavens and heaven even share the same word, though we know they're different concepts. And Jesus is taken from the disciples in a way that speaks loudly to them that he is going to be with the Father. What's really important about the ascension is not the direction the body moves, but that Jesus is going to be with the Father, and he is taking a place of his rightful place of with authority over all things. He is the Lord of creation. And being our Lord means that he can direct us, but being the Lord of all things means that he is a good friend to know. It's nice to have good friends in high places, we often say, and Jesus is in the highest place of all. So we have this heavenly Lord. We have this glorious God. We have this friend who showed us every kind of love, and now he has been, so to speak, promoted to the highest place, so that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The book of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father Almighty, ever interceding for us. Our friend is right there, speaking on our behalf. And yet the word interceding doesn't only refer to speaking. It means working on our behalf, doing things on our behalf. That Jesus is working in his authority over all the earth to bless and strengthen And one of the great things that he's doing from his place of authority, and it's not covered in the scriptures yet except by way of promise, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were waiting for Jesus to send the Holy Spirit from the Father, for that promise to be fulfilled. And they didn't, I don't think, even had a concept of what it would mean, what a change it would make in their lives. They just knew that Jesus had said, don't even try. Don't even try to go and evangelize the world. Don't try to take my message elsewhere. Don't try to do all the things that I've commanded you to do until you receive this power, this authority from on high. Now, we have received that authority. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit, although when we go through the church year, we kind of mark the dates that things happened in that first year of the church. And so Pentecost is next Sunday. And yet we have already received the Holy Spirit, and with it, the power and authority to do all the things that Jesus has commanded his people to do. That's when I talk about Jesus commanding us, it's not just the rules. It's not just the thou shalt nots and the commands to live life a certain way. It's also his authority to pray for the sick and to pray for those who are oppressed by the devil, to pray for those who are in prison, to reach out and make a difference in people's lives. I do believe that the Holy Spirit still empowers his church to supernaturally transform people's situations. I don't know why people pray otherwise. We sometimes get a little bit turned off by people making a big show of how great they are and how amazing they are, and we usually think that such people are pulling the wool over our eyes somehow. But that shouldn't keep us from believing that the Jesus who healed the sick, who delivered people from oppression, who raised the dead, who brought the outcast in and forgave them their sins and gave them a new start in life. This Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you, me? Yes, you and me will do greater things than he did. What does that mean? Have you seen that yet in your life? Because though the Holy Spirit has been given, and we saw it raging through the church in the early centuries of the church, and we've seen it arise in power at times of revival in different ages of the church, there's a certain degree to which we wonder if God forgot about us when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There's a certain degree in which we wonder whether maybe doctors have taken over the work of healing completely, and politicians the work of ending wars, and social workers of caring for the distressed. But that's not the case. I think one of the biggest reasons that we don't see the Holy Spirit doing what God wants it to do is because we've abdicated our responsibility to do the things God wants us to do. We need a renewal in strength and power, don't we? Don't you look at the situations in the world and you sometimes just feel, it's too much. It's overwhelming. What can someone like me do? I'm just me. But if it's you and the Holy Spirit, it's a different story. If it's you and the authority of the one who was lifted up to the highest place, to whom every knee shall bow, every power and authority and principality, everything in the earth, everything must bend to his command. And so we're not doing it alone. But the disciples, very clearly, obeyed the instruction of Jesus. And I think it would be a good thing for us to regularly repeat the practices that Jesus told these disciples to do at that time. You see, maybe we're not ready right now to go out and take on the world. Maybe we haven't learned to receive from God all that He wants to give us. Maybe we haven't learned to listen to His voice and know really well what God wants to do. So maybe we need more time in Scripture, more time in prayer. Maybe we do need more time in fasting, in submitting every appetite to the Lordship of Jesus, to getting ourselves ready and knowing that we need much more of God in our lives. I want you to hear me with anticipation in your hearts, not with dread that Brian's laying a whole bunch of heavies on you right now. I want you to so long for what God has promised you in the Holy Spirit that by the time Pentecost comes, you will have been going, "Lord, I hope this is the best Pentecost ever." You'll be praying daily, "Lord, I hope that when Pentecost comes, or even before then, if you don't mind, that I'll be filled with your joy and your peace. That I'll be so full of the things that Scripture promises from your hand, that I'll have confidence, and that I'll have the words to speak when someone needs comfort and help. That I won't be afraid to pick up the phone and offer some grace." Wouldn't it be wonderful if God did a work in each of us as Pentecost approached and that we were to see a new Pentecost in each of our lives? It might be something that changes the world because that first Pentecost did. Because Jesus had gone on high, their friend was now in heavenly places, and He was giving them everything they needed to turn the world upside down and bring it to Christ. Bring it to grace. Bring it to love. Don't you want to do that with your life? Even now, I mean, Abraham was an old man when the program started for him. Ananias, Simeon, and Annas, the prophetess in the temple, were old and tired and probably thinking, "Nah, it's never going to happen." But there they were when Jesus came in the door, and the best part of their life started right then. What's your situation? Do you want the one who's gone on high to bring you into the fullness and richness of His grace, to bring you to maturity in Christ and to eager and active service like a calf? There's one passage in the Old Testament when the prophet says the people of God will be like a calf let out of the stall in the spring. The calf that leaps around with joy because finally it can get out there and do what it was made to do. That's our destiny with Jesus, who's gone on high to give us everything we need to turn this world around. Let's pray to God. Almighty God, to You we offer great praise, for You've lifted up our friend Jesus to Your right hand, and He has poured out power from on high to the church. And we've seen that power at work in history. Oh my goodness, we've seen it. We've seen how a small group of ragged disciples turned the Roman Empire upside down. We've seen how the church has gone into all the world, and even now there is a Pentecost of repentance and conversion every half hour in this world as thousands of people around the globe come to Christ every day, millions of people every year. And we give You thanks and praise for that. Is it too much to ask, God, that You make us a part of your Pentecost, of Your work to bring light and love and grace into people's lives and actually see their lives change because of You? Lord, we ask it. Prepare us. Empty our hearts of every desire except to love You and serve You with your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn today. Rejoice, the Lord is King. The Lord is King. Let's bless each other with our traditional blessing. Go now in peace. May this peace be rich and full peace that you receive as the Holy Spirit works in your life and in the works of all who worship the Lord our God, Jesus Christ.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true.
Thank you once again for worshiping with us today. I hope you've been blessed and that God continues to bless you through the coming week. In fact, may the peace and grace and power of God be on you for His good purposes now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.